And I have pressed the button.
I can't say the thing that I just thought of, so I won't.
Well, the banter should now commence.
I may type it, though. This banter is not commencing.
I'm in the GIF channel, so I just saw the Supers channel light up saying, hey, something's there. And I don't know if should click.
It's not a GIF, don't worry.
No, it's not. But, okay. We were talking about leaps before, and this is a leap.
Well, you said the button.
And as I said, it's not so much a leap as a trebuchet. But I guess you got there eventually. Hello, and welcome to Moe's School for Gifted Youth, which hasn't actually been at Moe's School for Gifted Youth this calendar year, I think, at this point. At least so far as days we're recording this. This is our... We're not playing a different game, so we're playing this one instead campaign. So the episodes are way more sporadic than the other sessions. I'm Crash. I'll be your GM for the evening. Tonight, I'm joined by a bunch of awesome people, including Beth, Ellie, and Io. And who remembers what I told you happened last time?
We are trying to do fetch quests for a mouse who wants to help the human who is taking care of them, and the human is using all of the things that we get as fetch quests in completely different ways than expected, and Phelim is starting to get the strong impression that perhaps, just perhaps, the mouse is not a reliable narrator about what the young human actually wants, but he's trying.
There are many attempts, yes. And you are doing all this not just to help Mousewind or the small giant child that Mousewind refers to as the architect. You're doing this because Mousewind is a wizard. Not wizard, that's different. Mousewind is a wizard. It says so on the hat. That was also made by the architect. And Mousewind has one spell available to them. And the spell apparently can send people home. They've used it before. They know it works. And they are happy to use it on all of you to send you out of this AU of the Plus Ultra campaign back to your home, where the last time you were there, you were on top of a water tower fighting Associate Professor somebody or other. I've forgotten his name. It's been so long. In any case, he was workshopping the name. But he was an Associate Professor. That part wasn't made up. Hey, if you're trying to live on an Associate Professor salary, you are going to find alternate means of income. Supervillainry was just one of those means. As a supervillain, he wasn't so super. He tried poisoning the water supply to make everyone just have massive hallucinations so that they would, not be doing anything while he ran around rampaging and ransacking and stealing and stuff. And turns out what he did instead was give everyone superpowers. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
This was fine, but that's okay. He had an antidote. And then you defeated him.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had a disagreement on what should be done with the antidote.
Mm-hmm.
Which led to an explosion and an aerosolized cloud of some type of chemical concoction to the face. And then you woke up here. This is all fine.
Well, Phelim's okay.
Well, yes, Phelim is a capybara. Phelim woke up as a capybara. Trajectory woke up saying beep beep because Trajectory is now a roadrunner.
I believe I am a crab.
Yes. All quartz has become crabs.
Mm-hmm.
I missed an opportunity. You could have become a rock lobster, but no.
You did miss that. That was missed. Alas.
Yes. Well, you breathed in the mist and now you've been here for quite some time. You've done two fetch quests so far. You found a giant that was telling stories to other giants, and Quartz felt seen as this giant stared deeply into Quartz's soul. And then they handed Quartz a straw hat. Actually, I think they put the hat on top of Feline.
Probably.
Feline, I think, is bigger than the other two. But regardless, yes, you got a hat. You got a hat, and that's being used as the roof for the new expansion being added to Rincewind's... Mousewind. Oh, no, you've seen the serial number that I thought I filed off.
No, we knew it was there.
I didn't file it off very hard.
you sort of stuck a little bit of masking tape over it and covered and scribbled something with a Sharpie.
I got some painter's tape, wrote legally distinct on it in a white oil-based
legally
Sharpie.
Legally distinct parody.
And taped it over the top poorly.
Distinct wizard.
Yes.
And then you went to get some food for the architect, and you got what was essentially a granola bar or some sort from a different giant who was lecturing a bunch of children about possibly eating things they shouldn't eat. Okay, Ellie, wonderful. But you did see the serial number.
Oh, yeah.
And that granola bar was not seen as food by the architect, because the architect knew what was going down. No one, except perhaps the giant who kept the granola bar, saw the granola bar as food. So that granola bar is now a drawbridge for said wizard tower expansion slot. With that said, you have one more fetch quest that you've been given, and it is to get a blank book from a third giant. This one has horns, and they are themselves a powerful wizard, because previously, Mousewind's tower had been destroyed. Accidentally, they're sure. But this wizard had used magic to rebuild it. So be careful around this one.
We will have to do our best to be careful and go sniff out the big one.
Okay.
Unless our speedster wants to run around and find the trajectory wants to...
Trajectory has made a reconnaissance roll, which beats difficulty 5.
Nice.
So, trajectory finds someone who matches the description in that they are a giant, but then everyone here is a giant. They have horns, and they are apparently, like, they're not in the town proper. To call it a town is... That's the wrong word. A tent city might work out pretty well. They seem to have 1.5 houses up over there in that direction. But this particular giant is not in the town. Beating difficulty 5 means you are able to find them. They're out off the edge of the town under a tree in the shade, reading a book that is incredibly large. You're not sure how they carried it over to there. I mean, to carry a book over here that size, they would have had to do something like magically shrink it down to put it in their satchel, and that's unheard of. You don't know of anyone who would do that.
Or maybe they have super strength. That's pretty typical.
Though that is possible, but a book this size, it's not just the weight. It's not heavy. It's awkward. Actually, it's both. It is both.
See, super strength.
But they are reading one book, which looks like it has a lot of maps in it. And they have 3 other books out that they are taking notes in, where they'll write some notes down in one book, and then they'll put that down to let that ink dry, pick up another book, write some different notes, then cross-reference with a third book that they'll write additional notes in the margin of. They're really, really into this. I'm not going to have you make any kind of stealth roll or anything. They have not noticed trajectory at all. Which is weird, because
someone's
a lot of people noticed trajectory today.
Yeah.
Well, there were little bursts of lightning as trajectory is running all around the tent city. You tend to notice the bird that's scuffing its feet and coming over and booping everyone. It wasn't even booping them. It was just walking past them.
Crackle.
Then suddenly all their hair is standing out like they're an anime character. So yes, trajectory, you found your target. You have, I'm assuming, returned to everyone else. How do you convey this information?
Mimi.
Phelim is just sort of Honestly, Phelim would be saying something about this, but Phelim never talks to anybody when in animal form either, so, this tracks.
I am going to stand on Phelim's head and tug at their fur to try and get them to go forward.
Phelim will be steered like the cook in Ratatouille.
Like the linguine.
Like the linguine. Phelim is being steered like the linguine.
You steer Phelim like the linguine? You pilot Phelim? Driver's ed for driver's trajectory. License. Driver's ed for 1,000 years.
It won't help.
Trajectory could probably get 1,000 years of driver's ed done in, like, a couple weeks.
Also, it's established that Phelim is the one who does the driving when you're not in an alternate universe where you're all animals.
Mm-hmm.
In the prime universe where you're not all animals, it's still the animal who does the driving.
Well, yep. Otherwise, Trajectory might do 1,000 years of driver's ed in a couple weeks.
Right, so you're going to have to take all these tests. The pile that's placed down in front of Trajectory is suddenly next to where it had been. Okay, you just move them over to the side. No, check them. Oh. These appear to have been completed. Even the essay portions. Although the essay portions appear to all say, I do what I want. Yeah, I got that notarized. It's been notarized by Parks and Recreation? What? Anyway. Okay, so a capybara is being steered by a roadrunner as it goes through a tent city.
And the capybara is, in fact, trotting in a moderately swift pace, although having to pause to let the crab catch up, unless the capybara will crouch down and make sure the crab can climb on and hang on.
Quartz appreciates this.
The capybara will have to go trotting at a pace that is fast enough to satisfy the roadrunner, but not so fast that the crab falls off.
You go past a second group of animals that appears to be doing some type of musical routine. There is a hastily written chalk sign in front of them, in front of the thing that says donations accepted, that says one night only, direct from Bremontown.
Thought so.
Well, again, I don't file the serial numbers off that much.
Besides, I think that one's a, is that one public domain? The original?
I believe it's public domain by now, but I'm not pausing the game to look that up.
Pause. You said pause.
Yes, I did. I did say pause. And there's only one of you who has pause, even though I turned you all into animals.
Mm-hmm.
The only one who has pause is the one that I didn't turn into an animal because already there.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So,
moving on. You reach
the edge of the tent city, and you see the same thing that Trajectory found. The horned giant, who now has a fourth book, it looks like, and also three different vials of ink. They are different colors. They are color coding their notes.
Someone needs a four-color pen.
They're using a fountain pen, so...
Or maybe several.
Well, yes. Yeah. Otherwise, they'd spend a lot of time wiping the fountain pens off. I know this experience.
Been there, done that.
Yes. You know the deal. The reason you have a pocket watch is so every 5 minutes you can pull it out of your pocket and smack it against a table a few times so everyone knows you have a pocket watch. Likewise, I have a 4-year visual arts degree.
Do you pull it out of your pocket and smack it against the table so that people know you have an art degree?
I was just talking about fountain pens. Moving on.
Oh.
They also still do not appear to have noticed you.
Studying for finals. Phelim will assess...
Books look blank.
No, not blank. Phelim is, however, going to assess this giant for signs of stress.
Okay. So this is going to be an intellect roll, and I'm going to say it is difficulty 3, unless you want to argue it down.
Nope, I don't see. Okay, difficulty 3, you say. Intellect. Base difficulty 3. Let's roll.
Ah, well, 13 on the die will beat target number of 9. So,
How stressed does this person seem?
They are not studying for finals, but you are the mascot of a superhero academy.
Mm-hmm.
They appear to have not the stress of a student in a class, because a student in a class has not yet realized what they need to know and what they don't need to know. So if it's too hard for them to learn it, by their opinion, they can just decide that they don't need to know that and then not stress about it. This is not true for every student, but I'm averaging things out here. Teachers,
yes.
However, have a rapidly changing student body. In some cases, you can parse that sentence in totally different ways, and it's still correct.
Superhero school.
This individual appears to have not baseline student stress, but teacher, we're starting a new curriculum. We need to make sure we're doing the standards right. Oh no, I'm being observed tomorrow. This is a different level in that they know the level of stress that they should have, and they are concerned that they don't have enough stress to match the stress level that they're supposed to have. They should be more stressed than this. Why are they not more stressed than this? They work best under stress. They should have more stress. Why are they not more stressed? Ah, there it goes. Okay. Oh, so I hit that level of stress. Now they can go down. No, wait. Now it's not base level anymore. Again, the point of having an education degree is pulling it out of my pocket every 5 minutes and smacking against the table. Actually,
Phelim is going to spend a while mulling over whether they should attempt to be a present calming creature to Pat and thus reduce the stress, or if that would be counterproductive. This will probably take quite a while, especially since there's a speedster on their head. Over to the speedsters. Well, and the crab.
Trajectory has rolled an 8 for balance. You have an inability in balance. This, however, does beat difficulty 2, and at this point, Beth said that Phelim is standing still while contemplating what to do. It was harder for you to ride here than it is to stand perfectly still. Except, because this is funnier, it's not that Phelim is staying perfectly still. That wouldn't be hard. It's not that Phelim was moving earlier. You adjusted pretty well to that. You're used to going fast. Okay, Phelim does not travel fast. Except
especially
behind
with
the
crab hanging on.
But there was a transitionary period between being in motion and not being in motion. Trajectory is not used to this. Trajectory is used to not stopping. So, Trajectory, what happens as you continue to move forward when Phelim stops to ponder the situation? Ellie is typing. Trajectory is hanging off Phelim's head, still holding onto the fur, upside down, blinking at Phelim's nose. Yes.
I feel like there's a non-zero chance that Phelim wound up turning their head at least sideways because their hat is falling off.
Quartz gets off to attempt to give Trajectory a lift with their little crab claws. Well, their big crab claws, but they're not clacking because that might hurt Trajectory's legs, you see. They're just pushing.
Aww.
Meep, meep.
The best part about this is, as a capybara, Phelim's eyes are on the side of their head.
Mm-hmm.
So the statement was that Trajectory is hanging upside down by the fur, blinking at Phelim's nose. Which means it's possible Phelim cannot see Trajectory from this angle.
It's a bit difficult.
Just a little bit of the wings on the sides.
Yeah.
Trajectory will accept Quartz's help.
You go down the crab slide that has been made by the crab arms that are being held up to try to push you up. So it's possible they weren't intended to be a slide, but, you know, a thing's purpose is how it is used.
Me.
Function follows form, they say.
You are now riding a crab.
That works too.
And how does Quartz react to this?
Quartz sort of blinks. They're somehow still made of strange superstone, crabby eyes, and decides that if Trajectory wants to ride them, then that's all right. They have more handholds than Phileem does, probably. Footholds. Trajectory doesn't really have hands right now.
Also, as a crab, you have a wider, flatter surface for riding.
Oh, I kind of assumed that my shell sort of had a stalag.
Oh, like a mud crab. A Skyrim mud
growing
crab.
Up from... Yeah.
You know what? That's fine. I have no problem with that headcanon becoming the actual canon.
Boom. When I look for a gif of a mud crab...
You find the regular ones. Flat.
Yeah.
Well, the juveniles are more earth crab-like. It's the larger ones where they start to look like the sediment just piled up on top of them, and they were like, this is fine.
Yeah, that'd do it.
I miss... I got into Skyrim late in the game, so by the time I started playing Skyrim, the mod that gave them all top hats and mustaches and monocles was no longer available. It had stopped being updated, which is a shame.
Oh.
Because the images I saw of that made them adorable, but I did not need Skyrim to crash more than the base game does.
Yeah, that's fair.
Anyway, so... Trajectory is now on top of Mount Crab because we have changed the character art for Mount Crab to be Mount Crab. Phileem is examining the stress levels of the scholarly giant who has now pulled out a fifth book.
Where is he getting all of these books?
They have a satchel.
Hmm. I suppose the thing to do is to go over and poke into the satchel.
Okay. Ellie has found a Final Fantasy XIV gif of a cat boy dancing in front of a giant crab. That is, it's a huge giant crab. It's not just a giant crab.
It's taller than the cat boy.
It is taller than the cat boy.
And it's also dancing.
Also, there is something, they have some type of non-combat pet that's in the scene too. I can't tell what it is, but from this distance with these glasses, which I do need to see an optometrist again, it kind of looks like the capybara image that Beth is using for the character art for Phileem.
The tail makes me think it's a platypus.
Regardless, this
is... it's walking along like on its hind legs, whatever it is.
This needed to be added to the recording for posterity's sake.
Yes. Reasonable.
Meanwhile, a not nearly as giant crab is approaching a scholar to poke at their leather satchel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It is charged. It's a satchel charge. That is not true.
No. Nope.
It's not canon. But that short hooded figure over there with the glowing yellow eyes, maybe don't poke at their satchel.
Never poke at Rotini's satchel.
Well, one side of the satchel says, face towards the enemy.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's adorable, Ellie. It's a little otter wearing a Hawaiian print shirt.
And a hat.
And a hat with sunglasses on the hat and a fishing rod and a little bucket. That is adorable. With that said, I'm going to ask for a speed roll from Quartz. This is to be stealthy. It's going to be difficulty 2 because the giant appears to be heavily distracted by gestures at everything. All right, a 14 easily beats a difficulty 2. I'm trying to get out of the mindset that I've gone back into for D&D of the modifiers are added to the roll versus the modifiers are added to the target number. And this is fine. This is all fine. We're all fine here.
How are you?
I I took a 15-minute power nap that lasted at least 3 hours, so well rested, I guess. I'm still tired, but that's my secret cap. I'm always tired. But this is not about me. This is about a crab, which is not known for making a ton of noise as it approaches. Crabs are not known to wear clown shoes, although that image is now in my brain, so it should be in yours also.
Tick, 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 tick.
Yes, Ellie, Crash being well rested means I get double XP. Fear the GM who gets double XP. I made you all laugh. Yep, did again. It again. Right. Mm-hmm. So the crab sneakily walks forward on its little crabby legs.
Ding, 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 ding.
Except they don't make that sound because sneaky. And how do you poke at the satchel?
Quartz reaches out with their pinchers and clasps the pinchers around the one side of the opening and pulls it up to peek.
It is full of tiny books.
They're sized for us. Aww. That seems odd.
Most of these books appear to be not new in that they have a significant number of bookmarks sticking out of them at different angles. Some of them have other pieces of paper that are not the same dimensions as the book, but those are sticking out of that between various pages as well. This is an active collection.
But tiny.
It is not made for ants. It's not that tiny. But these are not books that are the same size as the books that are currently being used by the giant, who has still not noticed you.
Very strange. I suppose we should take a book and ask.
Okay, so you're going to grab a book?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Make me a might defense roll. This is going to be difficulty 5.
Oof.
Oh,
well,
my god!
You did it!
That is exactly 15. That is exactly what you needed to beat it.
No, no, it is not.
It says it beats difficulty 5.
It says it beats difficulty 5, but also look at what the difficulty was.
5?
Are you not seeing...
Task eased by three
difficulty
additional
5.
Steps.
Difficulty 0.
Oh. Okay, now I see it.
Okay, good. I was worried. Made of super rock.
And thus, a fair amount of super strength.
So, here is what happens.
Might defense.
Yeah, here is what happens. You pull out a tiny book. Do you go for one that has more bookmarks or fewer bookmarks?
Fewer.
Okay. So, you find one that only seems to have one or two in there. And you pull it out with one little tiny crabby arm. Relatively speaking, you're used to your arms being much bigger. And as you pull it out, your first thought is that you are shrinking. No, you are not shrinking. You are still the size of a crab. You are not become tiny, tiny crab. But the book grows rapidly. And suddenly, you have a book for a hat. Actually, a book for a roof. Actually, this book is quite large. It is the same width as you. You are under this book. It would be crushing you if you were not a crab made of rock. To an outside observer, there is a book with crab legs, possibly scurrying around.
Yeah, scurrying around a bit. Quartz is confused and somewhat alarmed.
Okay. Difficulty 5 speed check to avoid being noticed by the giant for doing this. At this point, now that you've
Quartz
gone to the statue,
not really trying to.
Okay, so you automatically failed. This is also fine.
Yeah.
The giant definitely notices that one of their books has grown legs and is trying to escape.
Less trying to escape the giant and more trying to escape the book.
Give me an additional. This one is going to be another speed roll. This is still going to be difficulty 5. But this is because you have a book on your face. You don't necessarily know where you are going.
The attempt at going
meanwhile,
is... Sorry.
Has gotten off Quartz to try and lighten the load.
Oh.
probably wise. Also, so you don't get squished by a book.
Me.
So this all works because with the canonical mountain on Quartz, it is possible for this book to be there without crushing trajectory. But to the outside observer, the book grew legs and started to escape and then pooped out a bird.
Oops.
Before running into the tree that the horned giant was leaning against.
Bonk.
There is a thump. There is a collapse as the legs splay out a little bit more and the book goes down a few inches. And then a walnut bounces off of the book and rolls away. The giant says a bunch of words that, like, everything that every giant has said just translates into nonsense, so far as you can tell. Like, automatopoeia, that is clearly not a real word.
Bah-wah-wah-wah-wah.
Transubstantiation? What? Vocal segmental glomerulosclerosis?
No!
Those are not real words. They can't be. Can't imagine anyone...
Establishmentarianism.
Yes. During distance learning, after the first half a year of it, the services that we used started adding speech to text features.
Oof. That
they were, I just call them adequate would be selling them up too much, but I love to see their upper limits. So as soon as they were activated, I would say the really long words like anti-disestablishmentarianism and focal segmental glomerulosclerosis. And my students would pay a close, rapt attention because they wanted to see how it would screw up.
Yep.
They're like, I don't know how to spell what you said, Mr. Smith, but it definitely wasn't that. Like, I don't expect you to know how to spell that. It took me 10 years to learn how to say it. There were doctors that we would see where we would tell them that Kelly had focal segmental glomerulosclerosis. But we wouldn't say that. We'd say FSGS because that's what everyone calls it. But they'd had to prove that they had that medical degree, even if the ink was still wet on it. So like, oh yeah, focal segmental that thing. Yes.
What? Then you said it for them?
Cruelly. No, we weren't that mean. We were trying to be kind and gentle and inform them that the things that we were telling them that Kelly had, she had, and they didn't need to run a whole bunch of tests to see if something that she had since she was in third grade, she still had. No, that's not a heart murmur. It is this other thing. We know this. Moving on, there is a splatted, not technically splatted, but what's that term for when animals are super hot so they lay down on the ground? Is it a splort?
Splay? Spoot.
There is a crab.
It's a spoot when a corgi does it.
There is a crab spooting with a book on their head, with a roadrunner next to them.
Clacking their claws furiously, like this will somehow help.
The giant reaches over tentatively, not reaching towards the claws, but a different part of the book, and picks it up gently to see that the legs and claws do not come with it, unless you're holding on to the book. Are you holding on to the book?
No.
Okay, so they do manage to see that there is, in fact, a crab under the book, and the book did not, in fact, grow legs. At least not this one.
Angie crab.
I think distraught is a better description.
Okay, there is that.
But for a crab, how do you tell the difference? Yes.
Yeah.
They look at the book, they examine the cover, front and back, and they raise an eyebrow at Quartz and Trajectory, and then look over at Faleem over there, still examining everything, and they put the book back
into
their satchel.
Faleem waves a paw and waves. Faleem waves a paw. Just lifts it up. Wave.
They stare at you for a good 10 seconds after you wave, before waving back.
Maybe.
Faleem nods.
They put the book back into their satchel. As they put the book back into their satchel, it shrinks down to the size that it was when a certain crab went and tried to steal it.
Borrow.
Look, Quartz was going to ask for it. It's just the Quartz didn't really get to the asking part before it decided it wanted to be much bigger than quartz.
You decided you were going to beg for forgiveness by means of asking.
Yes. I decided I was going to pick the book up and take it over to the giant and...
May I have this one?
The sort of, the sort of thing worked before.
It has worked before. Right. With a different giant. You tried to steal a book from a librarian.
It wasn't stealing. It was attempting to make a withdrawal from the library.
You didn't take it to the front desk.
Well, that's because the book went small. Yes, that's because the book grew too big to take to the front desk.
The title of the book was Grinch Hearts Post Christmas.
Oops.
So there is a crab that is clacking its claws at the giant. There is a bird saying beep beep at the giant. And there is a capybara waving at the giant.
Just one wave and then the paw down and then probably amble over closer.
My suspicion is that we have successfully confused him.
This is not wrong. If this was your goal, you have succeeded flawlessly. But your goal was to get a blank book. Step one, encounter Devin. Step two, confuse Devin. Step three, question mark, question mark, question mark. Step four, book for architect. Oh, they're saying a bunch of nonsense words at you. They appear to be questions.
Step.
Trajectory makes an executive decision and runs over and tugs at the edge of the horned giant's pants.
You tug at the pants. Give me an intellect roll. This is, like, I'm assuming you are attempting to get them to follow you.
Yes.
Okay. My cat will occasionally try to get my attention and get me to do a thing. But my cat is orange and is not very good at intellect rolls. So is not good at portraying exactly what he wants me to do once he has my attention. But you have rolled high enough to be difficulty 3. So, Devin, because yes, this is AU Devin. In their off time, they work in a coffee shop because they're AU Devin. Actually, that's not true. They're one of the people who goes to the coffee shop so they can read in peace and quiet and then are not left alone because they went to the wrong coffee shop. One that is in an AU fanfiction world. Although the mechanical contraption that brings their latte over is kind of neat. Sometimes my audience is just the people in the group I'm playing with.
It's these little crossovers that make people need to read lots of the... the other episodes. Yes, clearly.
So they sigh and carefully pack up all of their books. Each of the books that they have out as they put in the satchel gets smaller as they put it in the satchel, which is good because that large one that they were taking notes from, as opposed to notes into, was larger than the satchel. And carefully stopper up all of their ink bottles and put them in a side compartment of the satchel because you do not put ink bottles in the same container as the papers. You do not do this twice. Many people will do it once. Crash it, you do it once, I will take no further questions. I once dropped a vial of ink and it splashed over everything except the art smock that I was wearing.
Oof.
Some would call it an apron.
No.
The difference between an apron and an art smock is one of those you try to keep clean. My art smock is what I modeled old Rob's bathrobe off of. It can stand up on its own.
Because of all the paint?
I left a bunch of crayons in the pocket and it was in my car.
Ouch.
Oh.
It's great. Now paint just runs off of it onto my pant legs. Anyway, Devin has packed up, stood up, looks down at Trajectory, and just gives a nod of, all right, I'm ready. But what they say is flibbity gibbets.
Valim will crouch down so that the crab can ride again.
Crab Quartz rides again.
Yeah.
Trajectory will run off a little ways and then come back.
Devin does not run. Devin walks.
Trajectory does not run.
Oh, no.
Trajectory moves at average speed, which is you blink and they are somewhere else. You blink and they're back.
You know the beginning of... have you played Bioshock Infinite?
I have not. I know of BioShock Infinite.
There is a spoiler that I need to give for this to make sense.
This game came out a long time ago. I'm fine.
Yeah. When the game opens, you're in a boat with two people who are, one of them is rowing the boat and one of them's having a conversation. One of them's rowing the boat and they're both having the conversation.
And they say, and you're sitting there silent.
But part of the conversation is, so the idea is that there are an infinite number of parallel realities, and these two study the parallel realities. And so one of the lines of dialogue is that the one who's rowing says, well, he could at least help row. The other one says, no, he doesn't row. The first one says something like, oh, never learned. And the second one says, no, he doesn't row. The implication being there is no reality in which you help row the boat.
There's no reality in which there is not some running.
Yes.
There is no reality where this character rows the boat because the devs did not code in the animation for them to row the boat.
Well, that too.
So all the infinite playthroughs of BioShock Infinite. Oh, I love how that. I love how that plays out. Also, I am aware of the ending for BioShock Infinite. So, but we will not spoil that for the people who care.
Anyway, yes. The point is not to get Devon to run with her. The horned giant. The point is to indicate the direction and then come back to let people know that she hasn't just run off.
You are providing quest markers.
Yes.
And they follow.
And as we reach the 1 hour mark, I will lead them back to Mousewind and the Architect.
Okay. And I'm going to pause it here because, as you said, we've hit the 1 hour mark. And that is all for this episode of Mo School for Gifted Youth, a Cypher System campaign that we play anytime we're not playing something else. My name is Crash. I was your GM for the evening, and tonight I was joined by a bunch of awesome people, including Beth, Ellie, and Io, and Crash. Beth's child's mom writes books at elizabethmccoy.com. And you can get all these podcasts over at aaronbsmith.com/cogwheel. We also have a Patreon, patreon.com/cogwheelgaming, where you can help us keep the lights on, along with other illustrious patrons, including Ellie, Shanshan, Walter, Liv Droman, and patron emeritus Cindy. And until next time, this is Crash saying, we recorded this in July of 2025. Anytime we are not playing something else is a correct statement. Good night, everyone.